Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have tips and reports for you from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we have a very lengthy talk about walleye fishing and a lot more with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Bill Kutka. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
The Hayward area is a true snowmobile mecca with over 600 miles of groomed trails. In the middle of it all, you'll find us at Hayward Power Sports. We're open from 9 until 5:30, Monday through Saturday, with sales, service, parts, and rentals. Plus on Sundays, we're open for rental pickup and drop-off only from 9 to noon. Hayward Power Sports has 14 people staffing our parts and service departments Monday through Saturday. With state-of-the-art computer diagnostics and the most highly trained techs, nobody can get you back on the trail faster. Plus, with over $1 million parts inventory, we're likely to have your parts in stock. Hayward Power Sports is your Polaris and Ski-Doo dealer with the region's best selection of new and used sleds. Plus, our showroom is packed full of garments and accessories. Check out Polaris, Ski-Doo, Castle, 509, and Klein. Find Polaris, Ski-Doo, and Castle helmets and necessities like wear rods, belts, Hyphax, and oil. Want to get back on the trail fast? Come see Hayward Power Sports. Just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu, and while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. This week's show down at the Hayward Bait and Bottle, and Jarrett McCarthy on here, and let's talk about the ice fishing out there. You know, that's conditions are changing fairly quickly, because I get reports of slush, and then I get reports that they're not much slush after the day after that. So I think it's just going to get better as we go here, as long as we don't get a ton of that heavy wet snow. And we've had some of that repeatedly, but just hope we don't get a bunch of that.
Yeah, we've heard the same thing here at the shop from fishermen coming in and out. Sounds like ice conditions are getting considerably better to where they were post that big winter storm that we had.
You know, talking about that ice, too, a lot of the reports I'm getting is that there's a few inches of nice, good, crystal clear ice and maybe a little bit of water or very little water on there, and then several inches of white ice. And, you know, like one report I got was 16 inches of ice. Well, 8 inches of it is nice ice with a little water between it, and 8 inches of white ice. You know, 16 inches, that would be enough if it was real good ice for vehicles, but not really with that white ice.
Yeah, you just really need to know what you're looking at when you go out there and you drill a hole. You know, how much of that ice is good ice? How much of it is white honeycombed ice? How much of it is slush? Where does it vary when you're going out on the water? You know, I mean, you could go from that 16 inches of ice all the way to, you know, 3 inches of ice, you know, especially with some of these lakes around here that have springs and pockets of slush on them. So just doing your due diligence, take a spud bar, just, you know, it's almost like you're treating it like early ice conditions. You know, don't put a lot of weight into what somebody else tells you when you're going out there. Do the research yourself when you're going out there. You stay a lot safer that way.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, just because the snowmobile trails, and a lot of them now are starting to be staked on the lakes, and you're getting traffic. Over the New Year's, we had sled riders out there, which kind of knocked down any of the slush that were out there, and they pack it, and then it freezes, and then you wind up with actually thicker ice where that trail is by quite a bit. So don't assume that you can drive out on that trail, you take your side-by-side, get out on that trail, and just wander off any place off the side, because ice conditions really change once you leave that snowmobile trail sometimes.
It does, but, you know, at the same time, if you're able to take one of those trails out and you can get your unit far enough off the trail to where it's not, you know, a burden to those guys that are actively using it, it's a great way to get to a spot, you know, park your stuff, and then just walk from there. So those trails will be a very big convenience for a lot of guys that are trying to get to a spot a little further out that you wouldn't otherwise be driving through all that slush on.
Yeah. also for walking. They're a lot easier walking on them trails. You just got to be cognizant of snowmobile traffic, but you're a lot easier walking out someplace where if you don't have a lot of snowmobile traffic, walk out on that trail because it's a lot easier than wading through snow and slush.
Yep, for sure. And, you know, for those guys that are still actively doing that walleye fish at night, if you're using those trails at night, make sure you've got something reflective on or you got a light on or something just so those snowmobilers can see you.
You bet. Be safe out there. Anyway, let's talk about the fishing. I've had pretty good reports of crappie and bluegill fishing just about everywhere.
We're hearing that in the shop here, too. Seems like plenty of guys are having good success with that. Seems like walleye fishing has definitely slowed down. Some guys getting some nice pikes, some nice bass out there. But right now, it seems like the main goal is panfish.
You know, and it's not all been deep basin stuff. I'm getting reports of a lot of fish on the weed lines and even the deeper weed lines.
Which is good because right now, that's the easier depth to access. You know, some of the lakes around here, they don't quite have safe ice yet over the deep basins. So we've got a little bit of every kind of depth going right now as far as success.
You know, I think the walleye fishing has slowed up a little bit from what I heard from first ice, and that typically happens after the first year, especially once we get a lot of snow on the ice and limit that light.
You'll still be able to get them. You know, you'll be more so looking at your prime time periods out there, and you won't be getting as many as you got early ice, but there are definitely fish to be caught out there.
And pike. Pike are always a favorite. We got lots of good pike fishing up here. And, you know, those are good eating fish.
They really are, and they are so much fun to fight on a tip-up or even a jig pull, too. You know, you'll get a lot of guys that mistakenly catch pike on their little jigs and stuff while they're out there crappie fishing. But, you know, we've got some really well-built fish up here. Been eating good all winter, and they're a really good eating fish as well.
And you mentioned catching on a jig rod. You could actually do that on purpose and go out and jig for them, too, because they'll bite on the jig rod, too.
Yep, they're so much fun using a big spoon or a jigging wrap or something like that. They are a blast.
Yeah, and I know for bait, both live bait and dead bait, if you got dead bait, if some of your sucker minnows die, don't throw them away right away because sometimes that dead bait is actually better than live.
It will, and as we go further into the winter and we get more, you know, that winter kill going off, those pike will actually start looking for those big dead baits, you know, on bottom or close to the bottom. So as we go along, yeah, as soon as those bigger suckers that you have in the bucket die, don't throw them out on the ice, save them for pike.
You know, and as far as stuff in the shop, you guys got everything everybody will need here for ice fishing and for winter stuff?
Yep, we got everything. We got tip-ups, we got jig rods, we got a slew of ice jigs and a whole bunch of goodies, and we got your shacks and your augers and what have you, too. So definitely stop on by. We're on a sale right now on all your ice augers and chains. We got 10% off, so if you're looking for something and you're in the market, come on in.
You know, it won't be long, Jared. We'll start seeing the release from these companies of all the new products for this year for the open water fishing.
Oh, it's exciting. I've already seen a handful of them, and we got them coming into the shop, but yeah, we got some exciting stuff coming out.
Well, thanks, Jared, for taking the time with the listeners here.
Thanks for having me, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. And when we come back, we'll again be talking to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Bill Kutka. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzleloaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Rent some winter fun from Hayward Power Sports. We're Wisconsin's largest and most complete snowmobile rental service, offering a wide range of late model sleds from Polaris and Ski-Doo. All of our machines are frequently serviced by our certified technicians, and your rental includes a helmet. Plus, you'll be able to ride out the gate with access to 600 miles of groomed trails. To rent your winter fun, go to haywardpowersports.com, give us a call, or visit Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
And Hayward Power Sports, let's have some fun!
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had Hayward Area Fishing Guide Bill Kutka on here. We have Bill on again this week talking more about walleye fishing.
We're talking to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Bill Kutka, and Bill, good to have you on the show here.
Hey, John, good to be back.
You know, let's talk about walleye fishing. You know, we're in the ice fishing season right now, and there'll be a bunch of people out there ice fishing for walleyes, but whatever the reason is, walleye fishing seems to be a very popular sport. People want to go after it both the wintertime and the summertime, both hard water and open water.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those bragging fish, too. You know, it's good table fare, obviously, and, you know, they're a challenge. So I think people feel, you know, a sense of achievement when they catch them throughout the seasons and in different modes and techniques, for sure.
Well, you know, walleye populations aren't really as high as what people think. Yeah, there are places. I know you go out to Lake Erie out there, and that's a walleye factory. But, you know, in northern Wisconsin, your walleye population per acre, most of the time it runs under six fish per acre. And even over in Minnesota and stuff, it's not high.
Yeah, I think when you put it in perspective, and I think that's a great way to look at it, you know, people just imagine the footprint of an anchor and say, within this acre, there's only four fish or six fish or whatever it is, you know, and, but to your point, you go out to Lake Erie, I think per hectare, it's over 40. It's crazy. You know, it's a little bit more than an acre, of course, but, yeah, you got to put in perspective and, you know, catch what you want to catch for sport and eat what you need to, you know, have a nice meal, but also, you know, throw a few fish back, you know, and keep the population strong.
Well, the biggest reason I think people don't catch walleyes is just one big reason alone. They're not fishing where the fish are.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, I do, so I'll be getting on the seminar trail here, you know, January and March. I'll be at a few sports shows through the upper Midwest. And one of my slides is Bill's four rules. And, you know, the first rule is don't fish till you see fish, you know, and we're blessed with good electronics, but you're absolutely right. You know, you got to first not only see the fish, but identify and know that, you know, what you're looking at is, in this case, you know, walleye. So absolutely.
Well, if you have four, five, six, whatever fish per acre, they're not going to be in four or five fish in every acre out there. That's the point, is I guess that you're going to have a lot of fish concentrated. The old saying, you know, 90% of the fish are in 10% of the water is probably pretty close to accurate.
Yeah, I spent a lot of money on a few of those here, John. You know, and even when you see them, if they're not biting, you got to go, you know, and you might have missed the bite window, or, you know, they're going to bite an hour after you get there. And, you know, but if they're not going to go, you got to be willing to leave them, too.
Well, you mentioned seeing fish, too, you know. And, you know, years ago when I first started guiding, I was a sonar tech in the Navy. So I know sonar. I know what the capabilities are and everything else. But years ago, I mean, I just didn't feel comfortable driving around looking for fish when people were paying me. You know, they figured they'd go out there and sit right where the fish were right away. And I didn't feel all that comfortable driving around searching for fish, so I didn't utilize it as much. But over the years, in talking to a lot of pro tournament guys, literally they don't fish until they find fish with that electronics.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'm kind of backing off the tournaments here a little bit, but, you know, if I go out for like a National Walleye Tour tournament on a big body of water or a new body of water, there's times I don't even take the rods out of the locker for a couple of days. I just go around and sight, I'll mark, I'll graph, you know, I'll go back and fish them later. But, you know, but going back to the other point too, you know, and being a guide is almost like being a concierge. You know, I always have kind of a pre-trip meeting with my clients, you know, get to know them a little bit. You know, what have you experienced? You know, have you guided before? What's your experience? What are you looking to achieve? But then I kind of tell them when they get in the boat that morning or afternoon, you know, what the program is. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. And, you know, if we don't, you know, hit on the fish right away, we're going to move. So, you know, if I'm spending time looking for fish that want to bite, it pays dividends because you eventually get on fish that bite and the experience is there. So, you know, whether you sit over a pile of fish for a half an hour, an hour trying to get them to go, where you move around for 35 or 40 minutes and then you have a bounty of bites for a half an hour or 45 minutes, that's where the bonus is. So it's kind of how you pre-trip yourself and explain what's going to go on. You know, make them part of the experience.
Well, if you're out there looking at a lake, you know, it's a big chunk of water, regardless whether it's a 500-acre lake or, a 60,000-acre lake. But the advantage we have nowadays is the mapping we have. The mapping is one of the key things, probably before the sonar, because if you start trying to analyze the maps, and what I look for a lot of times is interconnecting structure. I mean, you'll have two or three humps out in the middle of a lake, some sunken islands or humps or bars, whatever you want to call them. And a lot of times there's interconnecting deeper structure between them. There's like saddles that may be 30, 35 feet down, but there's always other, travel routes on these fish run on. And then you've got your hard and soft bottom transitions where your lake bottom levels off. A lot of that you can kind of roughly pick out by using your mapping before you even fire up your sonar and start looking for it with your sonar.
Oh, absolutely. And, it's kind of your pre-trip plan, right? And I'll explain that to my clients, too. And, if we go into a transition from a hard to a soft on one of our clear lakes out here, I'll say, okay, here, look at this. And then I'll show them how the fish are relating to that as well. But to your point, sometimes you got to find, the spot on the spot on the spot. You go out, go to Grindstone, you go to Center Bar, or go to the Center Bars on Couderay, or around, you go out to the bars out there, Dugan's. There's contours and cuts, and as you said, a saddle connecting two intermediate humps out in the middle of the lake, fish are going to relate to different areas. What it might even be a trough. And, and sometimes it'll have a current in there, too, if the winds have been strong, too, if it's shallow enough and the water's been moving. So, absolutely. Just, you have to use your mapping and the technology that's available to you.
Usually, you find it easier to actually find the food for the fish, the bait fish, before you actually start marking fish, or which way around?
It's kind of both, you and I talked, last week or a couple of days ago, and I just got back from Lake Erie. I was out there for 6 weeks guiding, and they call it chartering out there, but, the bait piles out there are just huge. But we have our bait out here, too. Again, the lakes I just mentioned, whether it's Round, Couderay, Grindstone, even out in the flowage, you mark your piles of bait fish. Now I'll start looking for the fish, because fish relate to current, they relate to water temperature, and they relate to food. Right? I mean, there's certain things that they need to do to sustain. So if there's food, there's a good chance that there's some fish around them.
Well, in the position of the food, the bait fish, if you find the bait fish all tight to the bottom, generally the fishing's going to seem like it's going to be harder than if they're up moving and the bait fish are more moving than the predators are moving.
Absolutely. I've got some awesome screenshots, not only from the summer out here, but out in Lake Erie as well. You look at a pile of bait fish that's just on the bottom, or you got, you're in 40 foot of water, 50 foot of water, and you got a pile of bait fish that might be 20 or 30 foot in the water column, and it looks like a big arch. Those walleye or the bass or whatever's in there are exploding those bait fish and getting them out of their, comfort zone of just settling in. And that's when you know that even if you don't see a predator in there, something has gotten those, bait fish to get stimulated and have some action on them. So, yeah, you just got to read what the graph is telling you.
Well, and we're talking walleyes open water here a little bit, but, right now we're ice fishing. And yep. It's a little harder to actually get out there and find those fish. You got to drill a lot of holes where you can just drive your boat around. So now you're forced with drilling a lot of holes. We have to have some new things happen now. We've got this forward-facing sonar, they call it, live sonar. Hummingbird makes Hummingbird Live. Lowrance has the live target. When you go to Garmin, the first one that started making it, it's called the LiveScope system. You can actually search from one hole, 50, yep. 75, 100 feet out, and look for fish on the bottom or schools of fish.
Absolutely. I've got Lowrance. I'm blessed to have them supporting me. I've got Active Target, but to your point, you could pop a hole and look and say, okay, over there, 30 feet, 35 feet in this direction, pop another hole, you can actually see the hole being popped. you got somebody over there jigging them, and, you can, it eliminates a lot of drilling, that's for sure.
Well, you know, and I find, too, is that you can actually you move around. You can actually precisely position yourself over things like cribs and stuff with the live sonar much better and easier than you could with just your depth finder and your GPS.
Oh, for sure, whether it's hard or soft water, absolutely.
Yeah, and find crappies, for instance. When you're after crappies, I find that, you know, I can actually, you know, have people fishing on one side of the boat, fishing on one side of a crib, and with the other side of the boat, they're fishing on the other side. That's how precise you can position the boat with that. It's amazing where we've come to when it comes to electronics from where we were 50 years ago.
Oh, for sure. And you're also getting a profile of the fish, so you're looking at its action as well. You know, when you're using a, you know, traditional sonar or downscan, you know, you're seeing a top-to-bottom look, right? But when you're looking at them sideways, you're looking at behavior, you're looking at how they're grouped, you know, are they all together? You know, when you're looking down, you're just seeing a pile of fish on your sonar, but when you're looking at them off of whatever it is, active target or, you know, panoptics or live scope, you know, again, you're looking at that behavior. You're seeing how they're acting. I love, and I haven't done it, you know, probably in about 6 months, but there's a lot of times I'll just drop a camera down too. I'd like to see what those fish are doing. You know, number one, what are they? But, you know, how are they doing? How are their fins? You know, which way are they facing? You know, are they tight in a group or are they scattered? I'm always learning out there.
Well, that's part of fishing, and I've said this lots of times on the show, is that fishing should be a learning experience. You should be always learning something when you're out there fishing.
You do, and you need to keep open-minded. I don't care how often you fish, how good you are, how good you think you are. I learn every day. I learn in a bait shop. I learn in a parking lot. I learn, you know, from customers, and I always have an open mind, and, you know, people need to realize that. And a lot of people like to share information. You know, I'm a pretty open book guy, you know, but some people aren't as open. But, you know, it's just you got to be willing to learn every day.
You bet. No, that's what I tell people in the boat, too. One of the questions I always ask them at the end of the day is, did you learn anything out here today?
Yep.
Because if you didn't, it wasn't worth what you had to pay me to go out fishing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's an education experience as much as a fishing experience.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors from bringing this show to you every week. When we come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with pro angler and fishing guide Bill Kutka. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
This year, Dr. Ostrander and his staff at Hayward Animal Hospital will be celebrating 30 years. They thank you for your patronage. Hayward Animal Hospital continues to accept new clients and offers urgent care appointments daily. For same-day urgent care or emergency surgery, make sure you call early in the day as appointments fill rapidly. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with fishing guide Bill Kutka.
Let's talk about walleye presentation. You know, for years and years and years, it was always a live bait thing. It was bobbers or jigs or Lindy rigs. And over the last, 10, 15 years, we're seeing more and more people switching to artificial lures and snap jigging and all kinds of different presentations that catch walleyes.
Oh, yeah. It's just, I'm the same way as you. I grew up, you know, night crawlers and leeches and leaf worms. But I would say that, you know, in my days here in Hayward, you know, I'm probably 60% live, 40% artificial. You know, I still go to the live, of course, but there are so many good, whether it's a crawler, presentation, or you're looking for a minnow presentation. There's so many soft bodies out there now that are, scented created, I forget his name from Berkeley. One of the chemists out there just got inducted into the Hall of Fame. I mean,
well, John Brocknell.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah. So, but man, you can't beat, artificials. I was out with Kavaya's out in Lake Erie. He was out there doing some testing on your Berkeley bait that's going to come out next year, and they're always refining. Whether it's a color or a body size or the way it goes through the water. I mean, it's endless. It costs a sportsman, quite a bit. Always buying a new Plano 3700 box because I have some lures I have to have. That's the other thing is you don't have to have everything. Stay with what works for you. What your comfort zone is. You can buy yourself out of a market too. But I think people need to really start, adapting and conforming and using more artificial.
Yeah, in ice fishing, the big thing with walleyes is up in here, northern Wisconsin, has always been tip-ups, and most people set tip-ups. But, you get in other parts of the country, it's a jig fishing thing where they're actually jig fishing. Here, we can do both because we can have a couple of tip-ups set out and still have one line free to jig. And, I think you're really missing the boat by not trying, things like, puppet minnows for one from Northland or jigging wraps or any of the real active baits, or even jigging a plastic, because that stuff catches fish all winter long too. It's just a matter of you got to be on the fish.
Yeah, and it's also an attractant, right? I mean, most of the time, like when I'm out there snapping in the summertime out here, or fall, it's a reaction bite. A lot of times those fish are pinning that on the bottom, but what you're doing is you're getting their attention. So even though the fish may not bite your puppet minnow or jigging Rapala or hyper rat or whatever you're using, they wander off and, they look at what you got on the tip up. Maybe they would have bypassed that tip up, but you got them curious. It might have got them into a little bit of a frenzy, but they didn't go after what you're jigging with, but now they'll go after your tip up. So it's almost like floating a sucker out there while you're casting for muskie,
Yeah. Well, when you said triggering a fish or getting to react to a bait, I think the key there is you have to be in front of the fish. I mean, it's got to be, they don't swim 15 feet to eat a bait that a responsive attack. It's like in their face type thing. So it becomes important that you're moving around and using your sonar and drilling holes to get on top of those fish and find that active fish that you can trigger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can't be complacent. You can't fish yesterday. You got to fish today and fish for tomorrow. And you also have to be willing to move around, I think that's key, whether it's hard or soft water.
You bet. Well, Bill, a lot of good information there, interesting stuff. Anybody's looking for information on your guide service, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, good timing. I just released all my 23 dates for both here in Hayward, Wisconsin, and next October, November in Lake Erie. It's BillKutkaAngling.com. They can also shoot me a text at or call me at 715-699-4833 or throw me an email at bill@billkutkaangling.com.
Well, thanks for coming on here, Bill.
Hey, John, it's always a pleasure. I just popped you on Facebook. I'm honored that you make me part of this program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, folks, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.net. And from there, you can link to our podcast site. And the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.